Well, our text for this morning's sermon comes from the Gospel of John, John chapter 7. And so if you have your own Bible, you can turn to John chapter 7. If you're using a pew Bible, you'll find it on page 1137. It's John chapter 7. We're going to be looking at two verses, verses 37 and 39. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Jesus is in the temple here in Jerusalem. And it's during the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. So now hear God's holy, perfect, inspired, living word. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This is God's word. May he add his blessing to it. Would you join me as we pray for God's blessing on the preaching of his word? O Lord our God, we come to you as a needy people to hear your word, to hear you speak to us. Lord, some people have come this morning because they have tasted of your goodness, of your life. They've been filled with the life of Christ Jesus. And so they come to increase their joy in you, to drink even more deeply from you. We ask, Lord, that you would fill them. Lord, some have come this morning thirsty because they feel spiritually dry. Lord, they've come, they love you, they know you, but they come with a deep sense that they're not thriving as they ought. They look at their lives and long to see more fruit. They read, Lord, your word, speaking of the joy and the fullness of those who have been filled with Christ. And they read passages like that and feel as if they're on the outside, spiritually thirsty. Lord, we pray that you would fill them this morning. Some have come, Lord, thirsty because they've been chasing after life and other things, relationships, money, entertainment, and yet they feel continuously empty. Lord, we pray that you would, perhaps even for the first time, give them a drink of your life, that they would see and receive living waters from you this morning. Lord, some have come here, and they aren't thirsty because they're spiritually dead. Those who are dead aren't hungry or thirsty, and so they don't know that they have no life. But you, O Lord Jesus, are the resurrection and the life. And so we pray that this morning you would awaken them to their thirst, that they might experience for the first time a thirst for you, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, you know, Lord, we need you. And so this morning we pray for your blessing. Lord, you alone have the words of life, And so we pray that you would give us life in Christ Jesus by the working and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, some years ago, I think when I was in college, one of my brothers went out with his friends into the Pine Barrens. We lived in the outskirts of the Pine Barrens and loved to go just hiking and wandering around in the Pine Barrens, you know, all day. And it was the middle of the summer. My brother, Joel, had gone out with his friend. And being, I don't know, 19 or so, you run for adventure and you don't think about, how to prepare for it. So they went out without any water. And they were out there walking, hiking for it was about 4 hours or so in. And it was hot. The sun was high, beating down. It was a hot summer day. And he began to get thirsty. And my brother told us that thirst grew and grew. And he got to the point where he began to feel like if he didn't drink something, he would literally, physically die. And so they're walking by this kind of dirty swamp, and he sees an old half-drunk bottle of Lipton iced tea just kind of floating on the surface. He sees it, he runs over, he grabs it, opens it up, and chugs it down. Now, what would make a half-sane person drink from an unknown source like that, not knowing whose lips have been on it? Someone who's desperate and thirsty, because he understood, and his body was telling him that if he didn't have physical water, physically, he was going to die. So without physical water, physically, our bodies cannot live. But spiritually, the same is true. And even more importantly, without spiritual water, you cannot spiritually live. And so here in this passage, Jesus is speaking to people about spiritual life. And the spiritual life that Jesus is offering in this passage is far more important than the physical life you can get from a bottle of water, clean and pure though it may be. Because we're all, right, these physical bodies, these present bodies of death, are eventually going to die. But you were made to live eternally. And Jesus came to give living water. And so I want to ask you, as we walk through this passage, and we'll kind of look at it through just four words that kind of summarize the outline of the message this morning. The first word is thirst, then come, drink, and flow. So thirst. And I want to ask you this morning, are you thirsty? Are you spiritually thirsty? What are you thirsty for? And as we were asking the Lord, and as we were praying, we spoke about different kinds of thirst. And maybe you've come this morning, and you're a Christian. You say, I love Jesus, I've been walking with him for many years, but if I'm really honest with myself and I look at my life, I don't see the kind of fruit that I feel like I should have in my life. I'm a Christian, I believe. I believe in God. I believe that he's sovereign over everything. I believe that he loves me and it's for my good. But I would say my life is characterized by anxiety and depression and inwardness. And I couldn't say that I'm thriving. If you read any of the passages that were sent out this week, passages for meditation, maybe you read Psalm 1. And if you didn't, maybe you've memorized it when you were a kid. Right? Blessed is the man who walks not according to the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also doesn't wither. But in all that he does, he prospers. This is describing the blessed man. And that word blessed in the psalm doesn't mean like, it is the word asher, which means the fullness of life and joy. deep joy. Do you read that passage and think, I want to be that man, that blessed man, bringing forth fruit, spiritual fruit, with leaves that don't wither? Well, if you are thirsty, Jesus says, I have good news for you. At the beginning of his ministry, he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. They shall be filled. Are you hungry and thirsty to see righteousness in your life? The righteousness that comes from above. Jesus says you are blessed because you will be filled. And here he says, I have come to give water to those who are thirsty. So I want to begin by asking, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for spiritual life? Are you thirsty to bear the fruit of righteousness? My housemate and I, when I was teaching, we lived in Laurel Springs for about 5 years. We had a garden. Our second year there, we decided to make a garden and grow tomatoes and herbs and all kinds of good Jersey vegetables. There's nothing more delightful than picking a fresh, homegrown tomato from the garden. You can't get it at the grocery store. Well, we enjoyed this garden for a couple of years, but then we began working. Both of us spent a summer at the Boardwalk Chapel for a summer. We were away. We didn't plant the garden because we knew it would be a futile exercise. We planted a garden and we left it to grow without water. We would come home and those plants would have no tomatoes on it. Fruit can only be produced by water in it. And so you and I can only produce the fruit of righteousness, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, with water, spiritual water. We can't produce, you and I cannot produce that fruit on our own. But how does a plant produce fruit? It just drinks water. It drinks water and begins to grow. And Jesus here says that whoever's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So if you're thirsty here this morning, then I have good news, because there is water available. Jesus has come to give you water. And that brings us to that second word, come. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now we're told here that Jesus stood up on the last day of the feast. The feast here was the Feast of Tabernacles. It was one of the main feasts of the Jews would celebrate each year, annual religious feasts in Jerusalem that God had appointed in the Old Testament. And the Feast of Booths commemorated the time when the people of Israel were wandering through the desert on their way to the Promised Land for 40 years. And God provided for them in the desert. He provided food and provided water. So they were celebrating this feast. But on the last day, the eighth day of the feast, it was called the Great Day, there was a ceremony that by the time of Jesus was a part of this festival. And they would have this parade or procession from the Pool of Siloam in Jerusalem. And one of the priests would take a big jar of water. They'd fill it up from the Pool of Siloam. And then they would march in this procession to the temple. And then one of the priests would go up to the altar with this this jug of water. And he would lift it up. And then he would pour it out. And he was doing that to commemorate or to look and reference the prophecies in the Old Testament, who had spoken about a day coming when living water would flow out from Jerusalem and bring forth life everywhere. One of those passages is in Ezekiel chapter 47. We don't have time to read it this morning, but if you didn't get a chance to read it this past week, read Ezekiel chapter 47. But in that vision, Ezekiel sees water flowing out from the temple. And as it goes out, it flows and gets wider and deeper and wider and deeper and flows into the Dead Sea and makes the Dead Sea a freshwater lake. And alongside the rivers, Ezekiel sees trees growing and producing fresh fruit every month. So living water was going to come out. And the people of Israel looked around and they saw the state of the people of Israel. It was a spiritual desert. But they looked and said, the day's coming when living water is going to flow out. So they would do this every year at the Feast of Tabernacles. And here John tells us that it was on that day, the last day, that Jesus stands up and says, let the one who's thirsty come to me. Now the prophets spoke about this water coming from the temple, and that's why the processional always went up to the temple. But Jesus stands up on the day and he says, if anybody's thirsty, let him come to me. That must have been pretty striking. I mean, imagine you're at 10th Presbyterian or some big kind of cathedral for a Christmas Eve service. Thousands of people, a candlelight service, and everybody, has their candles, they're getting lit, and they're getting ready to sing, and then some man stands up and just shouts with a loud voice, if anybody's in darkness, let them come to me. I am the light of the world. Jesus stands up in the midst of all these crowds coming, saying, when's that living water going to come out of the temple? And Jesus stands up and it says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. So Jesus says to you this morning, if you're thirsty, come to him. Come to him for life. We're surrounded by voices saying, come, come to me, all around us. Advertisements are constantly saying, come, come to me. You want to be happy? You want to feel young and beautiful and satisfied? Buy my product. The advertisements with the brand new cars and the young, right, good-looking couple dressed in nice clothes. What does this say? Come, come to me, buy this car, and you can have the good life. Every time you open up your phone and YouTube or TikTok or whatever social media, you've got voices are saying, come to me, watch this video, and you'll have the secret to life. Watch this documentary, and you will be happy. You will feel good. Voices everywhere, come to me, come to me. But none of those things give real life. Those things don't satisfy. And so you get done your video, and now you got to scroll down and find another one because you still feel empty. And you watch that, and now you got to scroll down, watch another video because you still feel empty. You buy that car, and it feels good for a few days, a few weeks. And then you start paying more closer attention to the commercials because it just doesn't satisfy. We're surrounded by voices and advertisements saying, come to me to live. But we also hear those voices in human religion. You feel guilty about yourself. You feel bad about yourself because of your past, because of what you've done. Put in a better effort and being a good person. Just give a little more money to the church and you'll feel good. Just say a few more Hail Marys or a few more Our Fathers. Go through the ritual a few more times and you'll feel okay. Human religion, right? Offering through ritual, offering life. But Jesus says, no, come to me and drink. Come to me. Jesus is the one who alone gives life that lasts and endures forever. Jesus alone is the one who washes you clean and gives you peace with God. Come to me, Jesus says. Sometimes music offers that peace. Music is saying, no, come, listen to me. Meditation, transcendental meditation, empty yourself and just get into the zone and you'll feel peace. Right? All of these voices, but Jesus says, no, come to me and drink. So I tell you this morning, are you thirsty? Come to Jesus. Come to him. And he says to you this morning, come to me. Jesus is the one who gives life. What does it mean to come to Jesus? It means to look to him. Seek him. Open up his word. Not to go through a ritual, but to seek the living Jesus. The fountain of living water. Pray. And cry out to him. Turn your eyes to Jesus and lift up the voice of your heart. Lift up your heart to him, not as a ritual, but as a cry to the one who says, come, come to me. Seek Jesus by fellowshipping with his people. Jesus is in his people by his spirit. And Jesus says to his church, you are my body. The body of Christ, and I have filled my body. So when you fellowship with Christians, you come to church, corporate prayer meetings, when you spend time among Christian families and their households, you're experiencing Jesus. When you come on Sunday morning, you're seeking Jesus. Seek Jesus. He says, come to me. And drink and live. So that's our second word, come. Are you thirsty? Then Jesus says, come. Come to me. Nothing else can give you life. Nothing else can satisfy. Nothing else can give you peace. Nothing else can give you fellowship with your Creator. But Jesus says, come to me and drink. Come to me. Thirdly, Jesus says, come to me. And drink. Jesus offers living water, and he says, drink. Drink from me. Now, what does it mean to drink from Jesus? Well, we see in the text here, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, whoever believes in me. Whoever believes in me. So what does it mean to drink from Jesus? Simply means to believe, to come to Jesus and to believe in him. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, the Savior? Do you believe that he alone has the words of life? Jesus has come and believe. So when you come to Jesus seeking him in the scriptures, what does it mean to drink? It means to read his words and simply to believe what he says. I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. I have shed my blood, and because my blood cleanses you, you are clean. It's simply to hear his words and believe. All right. Whoever, of all that the Father gives to me, will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Maybe you're afraid to come to Jesus in prayer. Maybe you're afraid to seek him because deep down, you think you've done too many bad things. You're too bad for him. That he would turn away from you in disgust. But Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Believe what he says. So how do you drink? Read his word, hear his word, listen to it, and believe. How do you drink from Jesus? You go to him and you speak to him in prayer, believing. Not as a ritual. One of the things we've talked about in our prayer meeting is that prayer is not something we do to prove something to God. When I was younger, I remember thinking of Bible reading and prayer as religious ritual, kind of like the way the old, ancient pagans used to think of their gods. Well, you've got Zeus and Poseidon out there, and they're kind of angry. So if you don't want them to be angry, then you need to give them their sacrifice. And so in my mind, it's kind of, well, God's up there, and he's, I don't know if I like this, if I'm too happy with this crisp bird. If I just pray enough and I read the Bible enough, then maybe God will see, maybe I'll appease God. So I saw it as a ritual that I needed to do to prove something and to appease God. But that's not faith. Faith, that's not drinking. Right? Faith believing is coming to God, believing that he is the source of life, that fellowship with him, communion with him, is eternal life. And it's to come to him believing that he welcomes you, he invites you to come. So to drink from Jesus in prayer is to pour out your heart before him, knowing and believing that he invites you to pour your heart to him. Come, drink. Drink from Jesus. And then finally, flow. Look again at verse 38. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Well, Jesus says, come and drink, and something is going to happen. The one who comes to me, the one who believes in me, out of his innermost being, will flow out torrents, rivers of living water. Now, what does this mean? It means two things. Number one, it means Jesus says, from within will flow rivers of living water. Now, that the phrase living water was a phrase in Greek that was used for spring water. My brothers and I used to go canoeing in the streams out in the Pine Barrens. A few times I can remember flowing down these very quiet streams, and then you'd hear a little bubbling, and you see right off on the bank something just kind of like bubbling up, and so we'd row over there, and so where is this bubbling coming from? And you stick your finger under the water, and right out of the side of the banks was a little hole in the ground out of which was flowing this cold, fresh water. It was a spring, bubbling up. And Jesus says, you will have a spring within you. Now, in the ancient world, how do they gather water? Most of the time, they would put buckets out on their, the roofs and wait for it to rain and collect rain and then have to purify it. But if they ever found a spring, they would build a well around it. And it was a valuable property because there was always a source. Whether or not it was raining or not, they had a source of water. And here Jesus says, the one who drinks from me will have this life source within them. That life source is the Holy Spirit, Jesus in you. And when Jesus says, you drink from me and I am in you, through the Holy Spirit, right, is in you. And you will have this life source constantly supplying life to you, spiritual life. Your joy, your peace, your love will not be dependent on circumstances. When you don't have a source of life within yourself, your happiness, your kindness, your patience, all these things are dependent on your circumstances. Well, if people are treating me well, then I can be pretty nice. If my spouse is loving me well, then yeah, I can love them. But as soon as they're not loving me the way that I want them to, I start getting irritable. Right? That's a life dependent on circumstances.
or as long as I've got money in the bank account and I'm not worried about, you know, future finances, then I'm enjoying life. But as soon as I'm not sure about the next paycheck, I'm falling apart and anxious inside. But Jesus says, no, the one who drinks from me, their joy will come from my presence within. You ever met anybody going through difficult circumstances who knew the Lord? And they might have even been experiencing the tears of pain in this world. But underneath that, there is a peace and a joy. That's remarkable. I remember talking to a couple a few years ago at the Boardwalk Chapel. And a ministry like that, you just meet all kinds of Christians who stop by and love just to encourage you with their testimonies. And they were sharing, they had been, she and her husband were unbelievers. They were alcoholics. And they said, we used to come to Wildwood. We see the people here singing to the Lord. And you could see joy. The wife said, you know, I said to myself, you know, I wish I had what they had. And so I asked her more about how did you come to know the Lord? She said, we had a neighbor, and our neighbors had a child. They were Christians. They had a 5-year-old child that was hit by a bus and killed by a bus right in front of their home. And she said, seeing this woman go through this horrible tragedy, it was and going through the process of grieving, and yet I saw she had, even in the midst of those most horrible circumstances, had a joy and a peace that was unshaken, even through the deep pain of her tears. And we said, how has your life not crumbled? How have you not crumbled? And so her neighbor began to talk to her about Jesus, the one she knew, the one who had given her living water. And the Lord used that testimony to bring them to him. The one who drinks from me, within him will flow out rivers of living water. He said, now, John concludes, now this Jesus said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. So what is this living water that Jesus is talking about? Living water is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit given by Jesus. Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus says, or John tells us here, that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given in the way that Jesus speaks here, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Now, what is this glorifying that John is speaking of? Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus, from the beginning, keeps talking about the hour of his glory. And when he performs the first miracle in John chapter 2, turning the water into wine, he says, my hour has not yet come. The hour of my glory has not yet come. And that's this theme. His hour had not yet come. But then as you get towards the end of John in chapter 12, Jesus, it's the last week he's gone into Jerusalem. He's about to go to the cross. And now he says, the hour of my glory has come. Now, what was the glorifying of Jesus? The glorifying of Jesus came when Jesus took sin on the cross. What causes that emptiness in us? What causes that death? It's our separation from God because of our sin. But Jesus took sin on the cross. And on the cross, sin was destroyed. Sin was put away in his body by his death. And 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave with new life, resurrection life, life incorruptible. He came out of the grave with his perfect righteousness, his perfect past, his holy life. And then he told his disciples, I'm going to the Father. And when I go to the Father, I will send the promised Holy Spirit. And he will take everything that's in me
and bring it to you. And so on the day of Pentecost,
Jesus had ascended to heaven. And what did he do? He poured out the Holy Spirit into the church. And so the Holy Spirit now
brings to us, right, the power of the blood of Jesus, making you clean
of all your sin.
The Holy Spirit brings the holy resurrection life of Jesus to you, making you a new creation. The Holy Spirit brings Jesus to you so that Christ is in you.
And what comes out of you is Jesus as you drink from him. And what a privilege it is that we live now on this side of Pentecost. Jesus has been glorified, and the Holy Spirit now transports his life to all who believe in him. So, what does it mean to flow with the Holy Spirit? It means to have
the life source. It means to have Jesus in you.
To have Jesus in you. And it means, secondly, it means to have Jesus coming out of you. Out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. When Jesus comes into your life, he doesn't just change your life, but he makes you an instrument of his life to others. In Ezekiel 47, we mentioned a little earlier that river, Ezekiel saw in the vision, the river coming from the temple, and it flowed into the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is called the Dead Sea because it's so salty, nothing can live. But in his vision, he saw this water from the temple going, the water representing the Holy Spirit, bringing the life of Christ, flowing into the Dead Sea. And he says, and it began to teem with all kinds of fish. And then secondly, he saw the trees growing along the banks, producing fresh fruit every month. Now, what is fruit a symbol of in the scriptures? It's a symbol of the fruit of righteousness. Fruit of righteousness, which comes from Jesus alone. But this water, the Holy Spirit, produces life where there was no life. Jesus produces life where there's no life. And he produces fruit where there is no fruit, his fruit, the fruit of his life. In Galatians, right, Paul describes what that fruit is like: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, right, self-control. This is the fruit of Christ in you, the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit. And when that fruit is in you, then the Holy Spirit, Jesus, not only gives you life, but he begins to give his life to others through you as an instrument. As you speak words, gracious words, that draw people to Jesus. As you speak gracious words to your brothers and sisters that minister the grace of Christ to them, you become an instrument of his work. At the beginning of our evangelism course in Sunday school, we looked at the Lord's Prayer and how the two aims of the Lord's Prayer, God's kingdom and his righteousness, all that his name would be hallowed, souls and holiness. Jesus is the one who births new souls. He brings them to life.
And Jesus is the one who produces holiness as he sanctifies them and makes people more like him. But here, we see that you become his instrument as you drink from him, and he flows out of you.
So that's the invitation this morning. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for spiritual life? Are you tired of feeling empty? Are you tired of feeling spiritually dry? Are you tired of chasing after the things that don't satisfy? Well, Jesus says to you this morning, come to me. come to Jesus and drink. Come and simply believe. Believe he is who he is, says he is. Believe what he says. Drink and then flow. Have the life of Jesus within you. That's Jesus' invitation to you this morning. So come, drink from Jesus, and flow the Holy Spirit with life. Amen. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who is the source of life. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to bring life to the dead, to bring life to the thirsty. And so we ask, Lord, that you would give us life this morning, that you would give us faith to come to you and to believe, that we might flow with the Spirit, that we might have your life in us. And so we ask these things, that you might be glorified in us, and we ask them in your name. Amen.